Well, good morning. Well, I am thankful and that I get the chance just to speak this morning, and I just pray that today will just bless you guys. And but basically today we're going to be reading out of Matthew 8, and I titled this message Jesus Loved Beyond Optics in Action. And so we're going to be looking at Matthew 8, which is a story of Jesus and men with leprosy. But before we actually get to that story and read it, which is Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4, before we get there, I actually had a question for you guys. And the question is, have you ever felt like you're supposed to do something good for someone, but then found a rational excuse why you didn't have to do it? So, like, I know I've had moments like this, where I said, I'll do it later, or I found out a reason, like I made sure I was too busy, or I just figured I was too busy or too tired, felt like I didn't have enough energy, felt like someone else will do it, or felt like generally they'll be okay, they don't need my help. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a short story that's retold in the Gospels, which is Jesus healing a man of leprosy. And so if you can turn to that in your Bibles, but otherwise it will be on the screen, which is Matthew 8 verses 1 to 4. So we're going to read that now. So, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Oh, right. So did anything stand out to you in this story? Okay, I saw someone do this with their hand. So he touched the man, right? Of course, Jesus healed the man, which is pretty cool, right? Like, he healed a man of leprosy, but he touched him. Jesus touched a man with leprosy. And I don't want to overlook this because I know Jesus physically touched lots of people in the Bible to heal them. But I just wanted to raise the question, did Jesus need to touch this man in order to heal him? So if you actually went down and read a little bit further, right into verse 5, it goes into another story about how a Roman centurion came to Jesus talking about his servant who needed healing. And Jesus marveled at this man's faith. And Jesus just said, "Go on your way," and the servant was healed. Or we can go to another story in John 4, which is a similar story, where an official's son in Capernaum was sick, and where Jesus just said the word "go," and this official's son was healed as well. With both of these people, Jesus was not in the same room as them, possibly not even on the same block as either of these people, and he still healed them. So based on this, and on our examples, the answer is no. Jesus could have healed the man with leprosy from a mile away. So going back to the story in Matthew 8 of the man with leprosy, I think it's important to look at what leprosy is. So leprosy, perhaps if today it would be called Hansen's disease for the most part, though there are some variations, and basically in the Bible leprosy is more of a broad term than what Hansen's disease was. But essentially it was an infectious disease to your skin and nervous system, and it was visible. And culturally, in biblical times, it was actually viewed as like a curse from God, such as a lot of misfortunes or punishments during that time. And it was associated with their sins. So Jesus worked to change this mindset. But leprosy was seen as defiling, it was seen as unclean, and there were actually rules in Leviticus 13 about how they would need to behave and what they would need to do until they again became clean. So essentially, until they were healed, until they were all better, there were certain things they had to do. And some of those things were to, like, when anybody came near them or approached them that did not have leprosy, they'd have to yell, "Unclean, unclean." The person with leprosy would have to yell, "Unclean, unclean," anytime somebody came near them. I just want you to imagine for a second, like, the shame you would feel with that. Anytime someone came near you, you had to yell, "Unclean, unclean." And you were supposed to wear, like, kind of ripped up, raggedy clothes, kind of, like, messed up hair. And you had to live apart from anyone without the disease. So basically people with leprosy would be isolated, even banished from like their family or their friends to like the outskirts of society. And the cultural posture was not to care for these people, but to avoid the sick. And the onus was only on the sick to kind of stay away and take care of themselves. It would kind of be like if we took everyone who had COVID-19 right now and we shipped them off to some island, tell them to fend for themselves until they were better. Kind of like a weird, intense quarantine. And Leviticus 5 talks about how people would become unclean themselves if they touched someone unclean, such as someone with leprosy. So with all of that being said, how do you think this man with leprosy felt in Matthew 8 before Jesus touched him? Like, what was this guy's life like? Like, I just welcome you to put yourself in this guy's torn shoes for a second. Picture yourself as this man. Like, how long has he been this way? Was it a couple weeks, or was it like years or decades? Like, how long has it been since he had a hug, any form of physical affection? Like, who and what was he missing from his previous life? Like, did he have a wife and kids that he wasn't able to see, or did he have like a career that he couldn't do anymore? Like, how long has he been thrown out to the outskirts of society and stigmatized? So people with leprosy were stigmatized. And I want to give a glimpse of how stigma happens and what stigma is, because this process is as old as the story itself, but it is something that still happens today. And so I put it in kind of four different steps. And the first is that basically someone would get a label. So this man, let's call him Kevin, okay? So we have Kevin. He's a man who may have a family or hopes and dreams, but essentially there's a label slapped on him, and now he is leper. He's leper. And so then what happens is there are stereotypes that are created, and these stereotypes are built from that. So people say, well, if he's a leper, then maybe he also is sinful or deserving of his punishment. He's unworthy or he's unlovable. Maybe he's a bad person. And all of a sudden, there is a separation that happens. There's the people who are clean, and then there are the people who are unclean. And we are no longer equal, but the ones who are unclean, or the people with leprosy, are seen as less. And finally, what happens is there is an act of discrimination, which is where they could be thought less of, talked down to, talked bad behind their back. Perhaps they are neglected, even people being cruel to them, being denied services, things like that. And that's what stigma can look like. So this leper in Matthew 8, and I'm going to call him a man with leprosy, he went up against the isolating rules of the time. He came right to the king of the universe when he was typically not permitted to come near him. And even then, I wonder if he was surprised to have Jesus touch him. Like, imagine those feelings. Imagine what feelings could come up. And I'm actually going to ask you to put yourself in this man's shoes, this man with leprosy. I welcome you to put yourself in his shoes this morning again. But this time, I welcome you to just close your eyes and actually picture yourself as this man. Picture yourself looking right into Jesus' face. Jesus stops, and he gives you his full attention. Not in the negative way perhaps you had experienced for years. Not shoot away like some dog, but rather with love, puts his hands on your shoulder like a father would a child. With love in his eyes, and he said, "I am willing, be clean." How would you feel as his hand touched your shoulder after all of this time? See, the thing is, Jesus, in his actions, he ripped off the label that said leper and showed that this man was more than a leper to him. He was a man worthy of love. He removed the social separation and put himself at the same level as this man. He saw him, he touched him, and he responded to him. And he did the opposite of discriminate. He took positive action. And so this story is told a few times in the gospel, and there is another version in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and I'm not going to have this one up on the screen, and nor am I going to read it, but I just want to say a couple things about this story, as Mark adds a couple extra details. And one is that he says is Jesus, just before he touched the man, it said Jesus was indignant. Jesus was indignant. So indignant is showing anger or annoyance in what is perceived as unfair treatment. He wasn't angry at the man. He was angry on what happened to this man, the stigma, the separation. And other translations, it says he showed compassion, which is concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. See, Jesus was concerned. Jesus touched a leper when no one else would, out of compassion for this man, out of indignation towards the man's lot. And the thing is, actions have consequences, even the good ones. Even the good actions may have consequences. In Mark's story, it actually said after this, he had to stay in lonely places. Jesus had to stay in lonely places. But I think in the scale of life, Jesus understands that love for others weighs much, much more than his personal comfort or security. Jesus' love in this moment and often went beyond physical health or his personal status. And if you don't believe me on that one, just look at the cross. Just look at the cross. He went beyond physical health or his personal status. He took risks, but he never took risks out of selfish ambition. He didn't take risks for his own personal rights, but he did it out of true love for others. And one thing that I'm just amazed of with Jesus is that he was present with the individual standing right in front of him. He was always present. He wasn't consumed by what tomorrow would look like or what happened yesterday. In this moment, he wasn't focused on the what ifs. Like, what if the wrong person sees me do this? Or what if I get leprosy? Or how do the optics or public perception look of me doing this? Like, what if this makes me late to my next appointment? He was mindful and present to the moment, seeing the needs of the person right in front of him in a sea of people with needs. He had compassion to the one right in front of him. Okay, so here's the thing. We live in a time when COVID-19 is the lens we're making decisions from. And understandably, we are in a pandemic. And before we make decisions, good questions may arise. And some of those questions could be like, is it safe? Or am I being safe towards others? Or is it even possible? Is it legal? Like, am I allowed to do this right now? So I want to be careful on how I frame this. So I'm going to put a disclaimer on this first. With COVID-19 being part of our everyday life, loving our neighbor right now might mean socially distancing to keep them safe. So I'm not going and saying, like, go touch everyone, okay? I'm not saying that today at all. But I'm definitely saying that COVID-19 does not make loving your neighbors extinct. Disappearing into our houses may not be the only way we can love the people around us right now. Sometimes we have to be creative, and that probably means being generous with the things that we hold the tightest in which is our time, our energy, and our stuff. Putting ourselves second. See, God gave us personal giftings and skills to share, and I truly believe he has you where you are geographically and in this season for a reason. And if you don't know what that reason is, I challenge you to seek out that reason. Ask God. Ask God. And I really want to encourage you not to let COVID-19 be a rational reason to forget those around you. So what I'm going to do is actually tell you a kind of a short story that happened a few months ago with two of my friends, their names are Cody and Jess. And they're two responsible people who are following the health unit's recommendations with mask wearing. They're not the rebellious type, but they did have an awesome story, and this was a few months ago. And so I'm going to tell this story from Cody's perspective, okay? So this is how the story goes. Today, while Jess and I were walking towards the waterfront, we saw an elderly man across the street on his hands and knees, struggling to get up after a severe fall. As we ran towards the scene, multiple bystanders stood at a distance and just watched as this poor man struggled on the ground. They yelled to us, "Help is on its way!" But gave no assistance as we got the man up and seated on a bench nearby. As it turns out, this poor man, who was 88 years old, had fallen, hit his head, and now bleeding for minutes before anybody helped him. And I'm well aware of the current virus situation, but I'm sorry, you don't just watch a senior citizen suffering on the ground and wait 15 minutes for EMS to arrive. I did gain the man's permission before giving assistance, but regardless, I'd like to think that all of us physically able would do the same. In the end, EMS did arrive, and this man received the care he needed. Right now, physical distancing is for sure a priority. However, when someone is severely injured and helpless, we gotta be there, folks. Simply a reminder that there are vulnerable people in need around us every day. So that is Cody and Jess's story. And whether you think they are reckless or not for touching an 88-year-old man during a pandemic, it is food for thought. Because we are still the hands and feet of Jesus, and the hands of Jesus are not meant to be kept in our pockets. Or in other words, they're not supposed to be kept, our light is not supposed to be kept under a bowl. We are called to go be love, just as Jesus is love, and he loves you, and he wants you to pass it on. To be love above all else, even when it's awkward. To be love when it's awkward, be love when it has consequences, be love when it's in a pandemic, when it makes you look bad, when it's inconvenient, or dare I say, when it's sacrificial. Jesus loved not only with words, but in action as well. 1 John 3:18 actually talks about not loving with words or speech, but with actions and truth. So I challenge you, let's go be love as Jesus is love. If not us, who's going to be that love that Jesus, who's going to be that love? Who's going to be that love of Jesus to our neighbor or to the grocery store clerk or to the coworker or the stranger or the orphan or the widow or the homeless? Actions and truth. Actions and truth. See, Jesus took action with the man with leprosy. And so I'm going to ask you today, is there someone that God has been putting on your heart? Is there someone that comes to mind right now, even as I'm saying this? Is there something that God has been irking you to respond to? If you feel your heart beating faster, or if something comes to mind, or if there's someone maybe lately that just you haven't got out of your head, that might be the one. So I suggest asking God how to respond. Because maybe it's not just verbalizing our feelings or sharing, our new quote on social media. Maybe God is calling you into doing something. And I challenge you to ask for wisdom on how to handle it, because Jesus did not use a blanket response for everyone in every situation. He dealt with them on a case-by-case basis as God led him. And if there's not someone that's coming to mind right now, I encourage you to pray and be mindful of opportunities. Because they are all around us. Again, it could be your neighbor or the grocery store clerk. Or it could be the stranger that just walks by your house every day. So like Jesus, let's love in spite of our comfort. And let's love in spite of our fear. Let's love in spite of our energy levels. Let's love in spite of how we may be seen or how we may be judged. Because love is on or it's off, it's all in or it's all out. And let's be thankful that we get to do this in the name of Jesus, who showed us and is still showing us how to love. So I bless you to seek his face while being his hands and feet in a time and place when the world needs it most. So I'm just going to pray really quick. Father, thank you for today. And God, I pray if there is any, God, I pray that you put someone on each one of our hearts this morning, someone that we can love, God. Or God, just show us as we go throughout this week who we might bump into, God, and who we can show the love of Jesus to, God. And show us how to do that well. So God, we seek your wisdom. And God, we sit here with open hands this morning saying that, just saying yes. Yes, we're here to be your hands and feet. In Jesus' name. Amen.